It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last night, President Obama held a nationally televised town hall on gun violence. The event comes on the heels of the president renewing his push for further gun restrictions through the use of executive action, including background checks for firearms purchases. Groups like the NRA oppose what the president is doing on this issue. But among Mr. Obama's supporters is U.S. Congressman Mike Doyle, representing the 14th District of Pennsylvania. He joins us now by phone from Washington. Congressman Doyle, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, thank you. Let's begin by having you tell us why you are behind the president on his proposals.
Well, I think what the president did by executive action was rather modest and really just done out of a frustration that Congress has really failed to act in terms of many things that most Americans, I think, agree with. Background checks, for instance, most Americans agree there should be background checks, but we know that the system needs improved, that we don't have enough agents on the ground to do the background checks. We have loopholes still in the system, the gun show loophole. This is one of the things that the president's trying to tighten up. So these are rather modest reforms. I think it's rather ironic that Speaker Ryan had said at one point that he said, you know, this is back in 2013. He said, we know there's a loophole at these gun shows. We should address that. So that's Paul Ryan back in 2013. And then fast forward to the president's announcement, and all of a sudden Speaker Ryan said there's no loophole. This is a distraction. So I think what we're seeing on the part of the Republicans and the NRA, these are all organizations and individuals that at one time or another have agreed with the idea that we should have background checks. And now that the president is doing this by executive action because the Congress has failed to do anything meaningful, they are all of a sudden in opposition to this. So I think that's rather interesting.
As someone who supports tighter gun measures such as background checks, how frustrating has it been for you to be part of a Congress that simply hasn't wanted to take this up?
Yeah, you know, it's just always amazed me the power of the gun lobby here in the United States Congress. When we're talking about common sense issues, I'll never forget when the shooting at Sandy Hook, when all those children were murdered, as terrible as that was, I thought the silver lining to that tragedy was going to be we were finally going to be able to pass some legislation. We couldn't even get background checks passed. And that's when it sort of hit a lot of us that this Congress, as it's currently constituted, is never going to address these problems. And I think the president felt the same way. And so he sat down with the attorney general to see what he could legally do through executive action because the Congress refused to act.
How much more effective could Congress be on the issue of gun control? Because, as you say, the president's executive order can only go so far.
Either, I think there's lots of things that we can do. I think I don't know that anybody is talking about, you know, closing off the Second Amendment or restricting Americans' rights to purchase a firearm. But I also feel that, you know, common sense dictates that certain types of arms aren't for civilian use. I mean, for instance, why do we need a magazine clip that can hold 50 bullets? There's no civilian use for that type of a clip on a gun. Its only purpose really is to be able to shoot 50 bullets, you know, as quick as you can pull the trigger. Those aren't weapons that belong in the hands of civilians. So, you know, if people want their hunting rifles, I'm fine with that. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I know lots of people that go deer hunting. And they have deer rifles. That's fine. Some Americans want to have a handgun in their house for protection. I personally don't own one, but I understand that some people want to do that, and I don't have a problem with that either. But I don't understand why a civilian needs certain types of equipment, bullets that can pierce body armor. What's the civilian use for that? So I think common sense dictates that there are certain things we should say that the Second Amendment doesn't cover, for civilians. And that would be, you know, weapons that can pierce police body armor. And when you talk to chiefs of police across the country, they'll tell you they want to see these kinds of bullets outlawed in the hands of civilians, because they're only used for one purpose, to kill police officers. So I think, you know, these are some of the things that we can do that make sense and still protect people's Second Amendment rights.
Do you agree with the president when he says that we've created a system where dangerous people are allowed to play by a different set of rules than responsible gun owners? And I ask that because you just brought that up in or made me think about it with your previous answer, where you said that you know, you've got these bullets that could not be of any possible use to anybody other than to inflict extreme harm. So is that part of what comes into play here?
That violent crime. Listen, we're never going to completely stop, and I don't think the standard should be, have we passed a law that stops everything? I mean, obviously, some people were going to find a way to circumvent the laws. This happens no matter what we're talking about. But what we're saying is, how can we minimize that? And I think, you know, the availability of these types of bullets and these types of weapons that allow people to fire mass quantities, you know, large capacity clips and those types of bullets, just should be taken out of general circulation. That really should be for the military or for, you know, it's really a military type of weapon. And I think that's what we want to see, those guns taken off of. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to outlaw every single gun in the country. I mean, there's already 300 million guns, you know, that have been bought in the United States. We almost have a gun for every American, more than any other country in the world. So, you know, those guns are out there, and no one's talking about going out and collecting them all. What we are talking about is to try to make sure that people who want to purchase a gun, that we do a background check to make sure that person doesn't have a criminal record. And by the way, while I'm talking about background checks, there's a loophole that exists right now that allows people that are on the terrorist watch list to purchase a gun. It seems to me that if your name is on the terrorist watch list because the government suspects you may be involved in terrorism and they have you on a no-fly list, and you can't fly an airplane, I don't think you should be able to purchase a gun either. But right now, that's a loophole in the law. So that's another thing that I support that I think we can do to make things a little safer.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Congressman Mike Doyle. Congressman, opponents of the president's stricter gun measures have called his actions into question about whether they would truly help stem gun violence. So when you hear the skeptics kind of come at the points that you and the president are making, how do you respond to them?
Well, you know, it's just the whole idea of you know, letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. There's no answer that is perfect. The president said when he made his announcement that this isn't going to curb all gun violence. But these are steps in the right direction that make us a little safer. Have we found a system that is fail-safe, that you know, will make everybody in the country safe and there will be no more gun violence tomorrow? That answer, unfortunately, doesn't exist right now. But does that mean we shouldn't do anything because we haven't found out a way to stop everything? I think most Americans and Western Pennsylvanians who are pragmatic people understand that these are steps in the right direction and we should take them.
Your fellow member of the Pennsylvania Congressional Delegation, Tim Murphy, who is himself a mental health professional, says the key to stopping mass shootings is improving mental health services. What do you think about that approach?
I think that's a very important piece of the puzzle. But it's that. It's a piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole answer. I support Tim's bill. I'm a co-sponsor of that bill. And I think we have to address the mental health system. And I think parts of it are broken. The president agrees with that, by the way. One of the things he did in his executive order was to put more money into mental health. And clearly, we need to do that. But it's not an either-or situation. It's not like, well, if we just address mental health, that solves the problem, or if we just address guns. We have to do both. And so, and money in to help people. When you see these mass shootings and tragedies, many of these people, if not most of them, have mental health issues. So clearly that's one of the pieces to the puzzle, and I think it's part of the solution. So I support that also.
The mayor of Braddock, John Fetterman, said in response to what the president announced earlier this week, he said, "We have a Congress to pass laws, but they don't because the NRA has a stranglehold on them." How much truth is there to what he's saying? Certainly we know that the NRA is one of the most effective groups of lobbyists in the country. Is it fair to say, as Mr. Fetterman characterized it, as a stranglehold?
Well, I guess it depends on where you're coming from. I mean, the NRA, like many other groups down here, have scorecards, and they score members of Congress on how they vote on gun issues. I'm a proud holder of an F rating from the NRA, but others, you know, are afraid to have their A ratings tarnished because they're used against them in elections. So it is a powerful lobby. There's no disputing that. But I just think, you know, some things are more important than how groups rate us. And I think we can honor the Second Amendment, which I believe in, but we can do so in a way that makes sense for the citizens and helps reduce gun violence and deal with these other issues of the day. So I think they can coexist. The Second Amendment can coexist with common sense gun control.
Congressman Doyle, how fine a line do you have to walk on this issue personally? Because you represent a district in western Pennsylvania where many of your constituents really embrace being gun owners and worry that their Second Amendment rights might be taken away. As you say, you are proud of your F rating. I'm sure many of your constituents are proud of you for having that F rating. But at the same time, I'm sure you have others that say, come on, Congressman, you need to be more friendly to us.
I think in western Pennsylvania, we have a long and a proud history of sportsmen. Many of them, as I said, are hunters. My grandfather was a deer hunter when I was a young kid. And he would have deers. I remember he brought home and would have them at the house, and he'd cut them up and would eat deer meat. And that's lots of people I grew up with, and those still do that. I think they also support common sense gun control legislation. Not every NRA member agrees with what the NRA pushes down here in Washington, D.C. When you poll NRA members, you find out the vast majority of them are for background checks. So, you know, it seems inconsistent to me that the NRA will say one thing publicly down here. You know, Wayne LaPierre and his lobbyist will say one thing to members of Congress. But when they poll their own membership, you find out that many of these people support background checks. So while I may get an F rating from the organization, the NRA, I think most of my constituents, those who own guns, realize that my position is a common sense one, and I'm not looking to take their guns off of them or restrict law-abiding citizens in any way.
I talked at the outset, Congressman, about the president having this town hall meeting on gun violence. What is your sense of what the country is ready to sit down and do in terms of having an honest discussion about guns and how they fit into our lives in everyday 21st century America? The polls show that people are really split, really almost evenly divided on this issue of, you know, when it comes to what the president is talking about, the stricter gun controls. And I know control is a word that some people bristle at, but do you get the sense that we're going to have more and more discussions like what happened last night, simply because this is what people want? They're ready to have that candid discussion and not just engage in rhetoric?
Well, I think we have to have the discussion because, as the president said, and I agree with this, is the answer's not going to come from here in Washington. It's going to come from out in America. It's going to be constituents contacting their members of Congress and saying, we'll support reasonable gun control. Background checks are reasonable. Most Americans agree with that. I think there's some fear of this, you know, camel's nose under the tent kind of thinking, where if we do one thing, we might do another thing, and that this eventually goes down to the road of confiscating people's weapons. But that's not what the reality is. I've been down in Congress. I'm in my 22nd year. We have never voted in the United States Congress to take anybody's gun away. This fear happens, and people run out to buy guns because they think somehow they're going to be restricted. But that's not what we're trying to do down here, and that's not what the president's talking about. We're talking about making sure that people who do buy guns pass a background check, that they're not felons, that they don't have mental health issues. Americans support that, whether they're gun owners or they're not gun owners. And I think that's the dialogue we have to have, and people need to get comfortable with the fact that we can do these things and make it safer. It'll never be totally safe, but we can reduce gun violence by taking these measures. And I think the mental health piece of this is equally important. I think we need to put more money into that, and that has to be part of the solution, too. It's not either or, you know. It can't be Democrats talking about gun control and Republicans only talking about mental health. We have to do both, and I'm hopeful that we'll reach a point where we can do that.
But before I let you go, one last question, Congressman, and that is that we are obviously in an election year, and we'll see new members elected to Congress or some reelected to Congress next year. Do you see things in the House, perhaps, changing a bit in terms of allowing for more of an honest effort to consider some of the measures that you're talking about that the president has talked about going forward, instead of just as politicians love to say, kicking the can down the road?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, it's impossible to predict that. I think it depends on a lot of things. We're in a presidential year, and I think who the parties nominate as their nominee for president will have a lot to say about how this election turns out, too. So we're just going to have to wait and watch that play out. But my hope is that we can sit down and, like I said, in a common sense, pragmatic way, make these changes that the American people largely agree with to reduce gun violence. Like, no law will be perfect. But this is small steps in the right direction, and I believe we can take them.
My guest has been U.S. Congressman Mike Doyle, representing the 14th District of Pennsylvania, talking about gun violence in America. Congressman Doyle, thank you for being so generous with your time and joining us on Essential Pittsburgh today.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, the Pennsylvania Farm Show is celebrating its 100th anniversary. We'll preview this year's event. That's next, when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESO.